listening to On the Same Page, a podcast from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Welcome back to another episode of On the Same Page. We're your hosts. I'm Abby.
And I'm Abby. We're librarians at the Central Library.
In this episode, we'll hear a recording of a virtual guided breathing program that took place over the summer.
But before we get to that, we've got book chat.
All right, book chat. Abby, what did you read?
So today, Abby, I'm going to be talking about two books because they go together, and also they're young adult books, so they're relatively short and quick reads. But one is Dress Coded by Carrie Firestone, and the other is Black Brother, Black Brother by Jewel Parker Rhodes. So both of these books take place in middle school, and they are books that have to do about being seen as middle schoolers. Mm-hmm. So who's invisible, who is seen, and what are those ramifications of being seen or not being seen? Well, those are actually more of the themes. Let me backtrack and tell you what the book is about in a short snippet. So Dress Coded, that will be a great book if you are interested in podcasting, actually. So any of our listeners who have fun with the podcast, you might really enjoy this book because the main character, Molly, starts a podcast, to critique and talk about the dress code at her middle school. And as she and her friends go on this podcast, they get really upset about the dress code and are trying to change it. So Black Brother, Black Brother, in a nutshell, is about two brothers, middle school age, and one presents as white and one presents as black because their parents, one is black and one is white. Mm-hmm. So it's all about their different experiences through middle school, you know, one looking like different races. So back to the themes. It's about being seen or being invisible. I thought it was just so interesting how these books were in really different tones. You know, Dress Coded being a little more fun, a little more lighthearted. Black Brother, there was a lot of vulnerability and sensitivity with these brothers. And yet they had such parallels when we thought about what it means to be seen. Dante, who's the main character of Black Brother, Black Brother, the book starts, the first sentence is, "I wish I were invisible." And then Molly is the main character of Dress Coded, and she is invisible because she's one of the smaller girls, so she's not picked out for having long legs or having large chest or large butt, so she doesn't get dress coded. But later in the book, she says, "I hear the cheers bouncing off the stop signs and oak trees. Go, Molly Frost. You are fierce, girl. It's the most popular podcast yet, and I'm full of warm, bright light. I'm as brave as I was when I didn't care what people thought of me. That was a long time ago." So that's a moment when she finally feels seen. So it's just interesting to see these two characters kind of struggling with, one is never seen, she's invisible, and one, he feels like he is so seen because he's the only black student at his middle school and he has a white brother. So two really interesting books, and I actually was tuned into them because someone recommended them to me after we went through the racial equity habit building challenge, which we can link to that in our podcast show notes. And if I can just actually say a word about that too, one of my thoughts, as I was reading Black Brother, Black Brother, early in the book, Dante actually gets arrested at his middle school because when he is in the front office, he swings his backpack and the principal decides to call the cops on him and get him arrested. And I thought to myself, this doesn't feel realistic. You know, like what kind of middle schooler is going to get arrested for swinging his backpack? But because I just went through this racial equity challenge, I realized that I needed to actually fight that instinct to say, oh, this isn't realistic, or how could Dante be having this experience? Because after going through this challenge, I was hit with the realization that people of color and Black students in predominantly white schools have such a different experience than I might have had growing up. And I just need to be aware of that. And it was wrong of me to instinctually feel like this is unrealistic, because it does happen. So
that's a, yeah, that's a, I think, a really important realization to be able to have too, is that like this thing that doesn't feel real to me, you know, it's just because it wasn't real for me. Yeah. What a great book. That really reminds me of the idea of I can't remember the person who wrote the sliding glass doors books and windows and doors. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That books can be mirrors for, you know, the people who see themselves in the books, windows for people who are like seeing someone else, and then sliding glass doors to really kind of embody that experience, I guess, or be able to inhabit a different perspective. And so I feel like this is like the perfect example of exactly what that that author was talking about. And I will look up the author's name and link to that article in our show notes, because it has come up before. But yeah, that's really cool. That those sound like very good books, and I am on a YA kick, so I might have to put them on my list. I also read a YA book. Just one. But I read The Marrow Thieves by Cherie Dimaline, and she is a Métis author in Toronto. And so this book, The Marrow Thieves, like I said, is a young adult novel. Came out about 3 years ago, and you'll notice it'll check off a lot of boxes for me. It's set in the, like, decently near future, one of those dystopian speculative types that I love. But this one is told from the perspective of a First Nations kid, Francis, or Frenchie, as he's known, and it's over the span of a few years. So the premise is that all of the kind of exploitative and extractive practices that we see kind of fueling our societies right now have continued to the point where, you know, we've reached essentially climate disaster, which is another one of those boxes to check for my favorite kind of reading. And so Frenchie and other Indigenous people, particularly in Canada, right, because they're so far north, their ancestral homelands are more or less underwater. It's become like a series of islands because the ice caps have melted. And so they've just been flooded. So that's just sort of the general scene. So in this bleak environmental reality, there's an added trauma for Indigenous people in North America, particularly in Canada and the US. There's a sort of resurgence of the old residential schools, but with a twist this time. Not that there wasn't a twist last time, right? So those schools were meant to kind of stamp out Indigenous history and culture in favor of assimilation with the settler societies. But in this instance, a sort of pandemic, I guess, has swept the globe. Rather than a really infectious, deadly disease, it causes people to lose the ability to dream. And this dreamlessness has like spawned kind of a widespread madness. And somehow they've discovered Indigenous people don't experience this. They still dream. And so the rest of the population is kind of snatching Indigenous people where they find them, bring them to these schools where they extract bone marrow, because that's how they make the cure for everyone else. And nobody really knows what happens once they bring you to one of these schools, but they know you don't want to be sent to one. So Frenchie, when we meet him, he's on the run with his brother. He's quickly separated from the rest of his family, but he's heading north because his dad always told him, you know, that's where family is. That's where we'll meet. Everybody just head north, right, to these kind of flooded lands. But shortly into the book, he kind of runs into this patchwork family of other people who are other Indigenous folks who are also fleeing, and they become really kind of a family. And so we follow them. They're from a variety of Indigenous backgrounds, and it's like a survival story where they're also, it's not just their lives, right? They're not just fighting for their lives. They're also desperately trying to hang on to their histories and their languages, so it's really interesting, but it's all set in this kind of bleak dystopian, like, climate change ravaged future. It was beautifully written, as bleak as it sounds, and fairly short, so I just tore through it, and I couldn't really think of any other young adult novels I've read that are like it, but it did remind me of an adult book by Wobgeisha Grace, and I may be pronouncing that author's name wrong, but that is also by an Indigenous author living in Canada, and that book is called Moon of the Crested Snow. There's less of that kind of fantastic element with the like bone marrow cure, which I guess isn't really that fantastic, but that is also this an Indigenous survival story during essentially a climate disaster. So those two I think go well together, but this book just really kind of blew me away.
It sounds, now I know this might be a small portion of the book, but when they're taken to the schools and they're being used to create this cure, that reminds me a little bit about, it reminds me a little of The Handmaid's Tale. Did you get any of those vibes?
So you don't, no? I don't want to spoil this book at all, but you don't really see inside the schools.
Okay.
Which is very much like a tale of evading capture and just survival.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So it has some kind of outdoorsy survival elements.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yep. Yep.
Like kind of nature. I imagine that would be where a lot of the really gorgeous writing would come from.
Yeah.
Some landscapes or some Canadian. Does it feel very Canada? Or is it because it's kind of futuristic-y and climate change-y, like it's almost unrecognizable?
You know, it's interesting. That is a very good question. And I feel like I haven't read enough Canadian literature, in particular like First Nations or Métis literature, to know. It seems very cold. And I know that there's a lot of wilderness and you're getting a lot of that. so... Yes, in that sense, because that's what I imagine a lot of Canadian literature is like. But I don't think my I've read widely enough to really know.
Yeah, but that's cool. That's kind of what I was asking also, is like, do you get the kind of stereotypical Canada, like where the vast lands of, you know, cold, desolate, you know?
It is definitely cold and desolate. And part of the reason for that is like, all of the Great Lakes have essentially turned to sludge, right? Mm. It's so hard to find fresh water that everything is like, it's a very bleak environment. Mm-hmm. I feel like I know I've said that word bleak repeatedly, but that is just really the atmosphere that Cherie Desmoulins sets.
Great. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, thank you.
Next, we'll hear a recording of a virtual event called Breathing for Health that we held over the summer. This guided breathing event was led by Cecilia Baum. In it, she leads us through coherent breathing, gentle movement, and relaxation. Enjoy.
Find it, how to implement it within your daily life, so if you wanted to start a practice, and then also how you could use it with kids or things like other people in your life. Does that sound okay to everybody? You can just give a thumbs up or nod or something. Cool.
And I think I have it, so we're just recording, Cecilia, but out of an abundance of caution, and if you don't want to be on the video.
Yeah, not everybody wants to be on video.
Right. Turns out that we have people on video, then we will scrap the video and try some other time. Thanks, okay. Cecilia.
All right, perfect. And so I guess if you want to chat while this is going on, if you can't see me, that's an important thing to bring up. And so maybe then Sarah can look for that as kind of a clue that I need to change positions or something isn't really clear. Okay. So you're all seated right now. And so from your seat, if you want to close your eyes or look down, breathe in and out through your nose. And as you're breathing, check in with your body to notice how it feels right now. Maybe notice places of tightness or tension. we'll check in without judgment. We're just observing. And then notice the quality of your thoughts. And the quality of your mind. Again, just noticing how they are now. And each time you exhale from sitting here, try to let go of whatever else you were working on today, whatever is on your to-do list. Try to consciously set it aside for the next period of time. Giving yourself permission to fully focus on this class. And then you can open your eyes or look up. And from here, we're all going to stand. And from here, so I'm going to tip my screen down just a little bit. It's not so important that you see my face, more important that you see my body. So from here, start bending your knees. And you're only bending your knees. You're not moving any other part of your body consciously. So your arms are hanging like ropes or pieces of spaghetti, cooked spaghetti. If you would like to very vigorously shake, you can go up on the balls of your feet, also moving your knees. Or you can just gently, very, very gently move your knees. So this movement that we do is an invitation for your body rather than a prescribed workout. So if it feels really nice for you to bounce more vigorously, do that. If it feels very nice to just gently bend your knees, just go with that. And from here, try to let your head hang loose. Try to let your skin hang loose so it's freely moving on your body. Try to release your stomach muscles. We spend so much time sucking them in. So right now, maybe just letting your organs float freely. Imagine them bouncing around in there gently. And if you want to, so usually I tell people to pretend they're on a playground or someplace they feel free and safe. If it feels nice to you, you can also make a noise right now. So if you're breathing in, as you breathe out, maybe that feels silly to you, but it can also feel really nice. You can also imagine a waterfall rinsing away, cleansing your body. And then from this position, we're still going to bounce our knees, but also now pretend like you have water on your hands that you're trying to get off. So maybe you washed your hands and there was no towel or paper towel around, so you're trying to shake the water off. And again, this can be very gentle or it can be really kind of full arm movements. So whatever feels nice for you. And it can feel different on different days. So try different things out. And then shake your arms behind you. And then shake your arms out to the side. And then shake your arms out in front like you're trying to get your computer or phone or TV wet. Me. And then shake your arms up above your head. And then shake your arms down below one more time. So bouncing and shaking. And then let your arms come to rest. Let your legs come to rest. breathing in and out through your nose. If there's a tingling sensation in your fingers or on your hands, trying to let that spread up your arms into the rest of your body. Those are all your tiny little blood vessels gaining flexibility, returning blood to different parts of your body. So what we did was we just kind of balanced all of our energy. So now we're in the same place. So from here, we'll start to breathe a little bit with movement. So make sure your legs are about shoulder width distance and your knees are unlocked. So they don't need to be bent, but just make sure that you're not holding them really tightly. And from here, if you have healthy shoulders, you'll move your arms all the way up. If not, you can just go lower. So starting from this point, breathe in through your nose and your hands rise above your head. Breathe out through your nose and try to touch the horizons with your fingers. So breathing in through your nose, your hands rise up. Breathing out through your nose, touch the horizons. So breathing in, two, three, four. Breathing out, two, three, four. Breathing in, two, three, four. Breathing out, two, three, four. Breathing in, imagine the air entering your belly first and then filling up your chest. As you breathe out, imagine your body just slowly releasing the air from your nostrils. So breathing in, your belly expands. Breathing out, your body relaxes. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, the sky pulls your hands up. Breathing out, the horizon stretch your arms. Breathing in, two, three, four. Breathing out, two, three, four. Breathing in, two, three, four. Breathing out, two, three, four. Breathing in slowly, gently, your arms rise with the energy. Breathing out slowly, gently, your arms fall as your body releases. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in slowly, gently. Breathing out slowly, gently. Breathing in. Breathing out. Breathing in. Breathing out. Breathing in, your belly fills. And as you breathe out, let your arms just come to rest by your side. And you can look down for a moment and notice how your body feels right now. Notice maybe your breath rate or your heart rate. And from here, find your chair again. And sit in a way that feels comfortable to you. So your back should be supported. Perhaps you feel your feet on the ground. And close your eyes or look down. And we'll continue breathing in and out through our nose. So breathing in. Breathing out. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, two, three, four. Breathing out, two, three, four. Breathing in, two, three, four. Breathing out, two, three, four. Breathing in, your belly expands. Breathing out, your body releases, relaxes. Breathing in, slowly, gently. Breathing out, slowly, gently. Breathing in. Breathing out, relaxing the space between your eyes. Breathing in. Breathing out, relaxing your shoulders, the space between your shoulder blades. Breathing in, breathing out, relaxing your arms, your hands. Breathing in, your belly fills. Breathing out, your body releases, relaxes. Breathing in, slowly, gently. Breathing out, relaxing your legs, your feet. Breathing in. Breathing out, letting go of whatever it is you're holding on to. Breathing in. Breathing out.
Breath in that circuit as you breathe in with the
tone. Specific pattern. Let your breath return to a rate that feels normal for you, keeping your eyes closed and your attention gently focused on your breath. When your mind wanders, bring it gently back to the breath, the feeling of the air in your nose. As you continue to breathe, and keeping your eyes closed or down, start to shift your attention to your body. Notice how it feels now. And perhaps how it feels different from when we started. Notice the quality of your thoughts. The quality of your mind. Again, noticing how they are now and perhaps how they feel different from when we started. You can start to deepen your breath just a little bit. Notice your body in your own physical space. So maybe it's your back on the chair. Perhaps it's a sound in the room you're in. And start to bring some movement to your fingers and toes. And if it feels nice, you can stretch like a cat waking up from a nap. And when you feel ready, you can look up or open your eyes. So if we were in person, we would have a little connecting exercise in pairs right now, but that's a little bit tough with a recording video. So instead, I'll just ask if anyone has any questions or reflections on how they feel now or what we just did. And you can type them if you don't want your voice recorded, or feel free to unmute yourself and actually ask them. That can sometimes be a little bit nicer, but that's up to you. And if you don't have any questions, I can also start talking about what it is that we did. So I'm not sure how everyone felt when they came in today. There's a lot of stuff happening in the world, so perhaps you felt anxious, stressed, maybe you felt really relaxed. And maybe you feel a little bit different than you did before. So maybe if you feel different, you could give I think you can have reactions on here. So you can give a thumbs up or a wave if you want to, if that's possible. Otherwise, I'll just chat about it If you do feel more at peace or at ease than you did when we started, the reason is we're using our vagus nerve to communicate to our brain. Great, thanks, Jean. I can't actually see everybody right now, so awesome, Deb. And Jane, great. I'm glad you guys feel a little bit different than you did when we started. So the polyvagal theory, the vagus nerve, we have all these nerves running up and down our spine. We kind of know that. And a lot of them are your brain telling your body what to do. And then there are a few that tell your brain how your body is, so what its state is. The vagus nerve is one that is a nerve that innervates a lot in our cavity, in the main cavity of our body. So in the thoracic cavity, but also into the digestive cavity and things like that. And it sends messages back to the brain, what's happening with digestion, what's happening with breathing. And it's one of the main ways we can actually help our body to relax. So the vagus nerve is in the lungs, and breathing is one of the things we get to affect. So, I mean, you can't really, unless you're a very trained yogi, you might not be able to will your digestion to go faster or slower, but you can actually control your breathing. So you can actually consciously slow your breathing down or breathe in different rates. And when we do that, we're sending messages back to our brain. What we do when we're breathing at this rate, which is about five breaths per minute, is this rate, through all sorts of different studies done kind of all over the world, helps to get your brain waves and your heart rate and your respiration rate all in line. So your body, maybe you feel very even right now, and that's because this breath rate specifically does that. So it gets everything kind of evened out. The neat thing is this breath rate has been independently discovered all over the world at different time periods. So in different, Zen Buddhist traditions, in Eastern Orthodox monks, all sorts of different traditions around the world all kind of arrived at this 5 breaths per minute thing. And then in Western science, we've put this into labs. So we've hooked people up to different monitors, and we can actually see that everything kind of evens out. So that helps your body to go from fight or flight, which I'm sure you've heard, back into rest and digest. The other way to think about rest and digest is social connection. So if you're in fight or flight, you typically are not great at making connections with other people. We're typically not our best selves. So it can feel hard to have patience, to be present, to meditate. But if we're back in this social connection or rest and digest, all of those things suddenly can be, they're a lot more accessible, or at least they are for me. And so that's what we're doing. So we're using this breath rate to kind of tell our body we're safe. It's okay. You can get out of reptilian brain. You can go back into the social connectedness. You can relax. The neat benefits of this are it actually does improve your lung functioning. So it improves your respiratory capabilities. One of my favorite studies on this was, I think it was Italy. They had this group of climbers. These were all professional climbers, and they had one group kind of doing their normal thing, and this other group of climbers had to do coherent breathing, I think for an hour or two every day. And then they both went and climbed big mountains. I think Everest was one of them. And the people who did the coherent breathing actually didn't need oxygen for the entire trip. So their capacity had increased so much that they were fine even at that very high altitude. If you're a mere mortal and you just want to walk around, or you're concerned about different viruses that are going around, having increased lung capacity can actually be really great. So you're using more of your lungs, and your lungs are actually more efficient. It also lowers things like blood pressure and kind of changes your physiology around trauma. So people who've had bodily trauma, this organization works with people who come back from the military who have PTSD, also people who've come out of enslavement in the Sudan, and helping to heal from that trauma. This is a really powerful way to do that. If it's combined with other modes of therapy, it can be even more powerful, but just doing this on your own on a daily basis or weekly basis can make a really big impact. So I can go on about any different aspect of that, but I'd love to have some feedback from you as to what you actually want to hear. Otherwise, we can just do some more breathing. So I don't want to go into science if no one wants to hear about science, or we can talk about why you breathe. Commonly, a question is why we're breathing into our stomach. A lot of times, a lot of people have done yoga, and we had a kung fu person, you're breathing into your chest cavity. So, you know, if you put your hands on yourself, if you're breathing normally, most people breathe into their chest. And that's perfectly normal. In yoga, you're actually trying to just, most of the time, you're trying to breathe into your chest, or you're using different energy locks to keep the breath there. And that's to increase heat and other things. What we're doing is we're actually trying to breathe into your stomach. So when you breathe in, if you feel your stomach expand, and then you breathe out and it kind of gets a little bit smaller, that's what we're trying to do here. And that's just a different kind of breath. So there, anyone who's done any sort of breath work knows that there are a million different ways you can breathe, and they affect us in different ways. This one in particular is just for overall health, healing, stress reduction, stress resilience, things like that. And so then we're breathing into our belly. If you watch a baby breathe, they breathe into their bellies. A lot of kids can do it very easily. So that's kind of where we're starting. That's usually a common question. All right, so if nobody has any, oh.
I have a question. Does it make a difference if you breathe out through your nose or your mouth?
Yes, it does. So a lot of times people have trouble breathing. Usually breathers fall into like different camps. Like they don't mind nose breathing at all, or they find nose breathing kind of difficult. So the breathing in and out through your nose just enhances that signal to your brain that you're safe. So when we're breathing, if you think about when you're exercising, like if you go for a run, you're breathing in and out through your mouth, and that's another signal to your brain that you're kind of in a stressed situation and you need more oxygen. So if you can breathe out through your nose, it's just one more way to enhance it. Of course, if it's very difficult, breathing out through your mouth is okay, but it will, it'll just have a little bit more of an effect if you breathe out through your nose. That's a good question. Okay.
I have a question.
Great.
It is, you're talking about breathing into your stomach, and you're not really breathing into your stomach. I mean, the air isn't going into your stomach. So what does it really mean?
So you're relaxing your diaphragm. So if you're using those energy locks, you're actually kind of locking the diaphragm and you're keeping air in different parts of your body. Air from its chi or its prana, depending on where you are. So the neat thing about this having been discovered all over the world is there are also different words for it. But it's our life force primarily. And actually, if everyone closes their eyes and you pick a part of your body to breathe into, you just gently breathe in and out through your nose, and you pick, for instance, like the spot between your shoulder blades, you can typically feel that there. So it doesn't make total sense, right? Because you're right. The air is still going into your lungs, but we can send our energy and our prana or our chi wherever we want to in our bodies. So if you talk to a physicist, they'll say we're just a big energy field anyway, right? And if breath is energy, and you think about it going to different parts of your body, it can go there, and we can start to heal ourselves in that way. And so, yes, perhaps the air, the physical air, is not actually going into your belly, but by releasing your diaphragm and releasing those muscles, you're sending the breath into a different place than it is if you're about to go run, if you're, you know, you're going to run the 500 meters or something like that, right? So you're just sending it into a different spot, and that, just that conscious effort and that allowing, that permission to your body lets it go, and it sends the energy in a different place. I don't know. I hope that answered your question. If not, I can try again.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Okay. Deb.
So you mentioned the vagus nerve and somehow breathing helping your digestion. How does that work?
So there are all these feedback loops. So if you tell your body, I'm in a fight or flight, I'm stressed. So if you think about the last time you were driving a car and somebody stopped very shortly in front of you, what happened? You went like, every time there's a stress, we go, and even, I mean, I can feel the reaction just by faking it, like my goosebumps popped up because my body can feel that we're about to go into a stress situation. And then that changes everything else in your physiology. So cortisol and adrenaline get dumped in your system, et cetera. So we're just working on the other side of that. So if we're breathing in this even slower manner, because it's not super slow for people who have really big lung capacities, but it's slower. We're telling the brain we're safe. And then the brain says we can pull energy from the extremities and give it back to the core of the body. If you eat a meal and then go run, you notice that your digestive system doesn't work so well. Like it can feel like there's a rock in your stomach. And that's because you're asking your body to send all of your energy out to your extremities to work out, to go for a run, to do something strenuous, when actually your body needs to digest. So we're just helping it to bring everything back. When you're stressed, when you're in a perpetual state of that, a lot of like blood flow and everything is going out to your arms or legs instead of coming in to nurture. Does that make sense?
Yes. And also with the vagus nerve business, is it something that humming is supposed to, or vibration is supposed to?
Yeah. So there you can get into, so this is sort of like level one, but it's one of the most powerful, enormous levels. I mean, most of the times when people get into things like yoga or Qigong or Tai Chi or Kung Fu, you learn these things at the beginning and then you get to like more advanced and more advanced. And then when you're really advanced, you realize that all the secrets were actually in the beginning one anyway. So this is one of those where it's deceptively simple, right? Like just breathe at 5 breaths per minute and your body will be healed. It sounds ridiculous what I'm telling you, right? Even like the idea of a breath workshop sounds kind of silly. But if you can do this, it actually is such a foundation for your body for then moving on to those other things. And as with most things, the foundation is the most important part. And if you spend time on that, and anything you add on later on can be powerful, but without this foundation, then it can kind of, its effect might not be as much as it could be. But yeah, chanting, there are all sorts of different ones and they can affect different parts of your body. So if you're having different issues, if somebody, so I also practice and study Ayurveda. And so we would tell you to hum different mantras to heal different parts of your body based on what's happening in your life. Okay. But that's kind of maybe for like another time.
Okay.
It's Sarah. Right. I have a question from the chat. Any hints to extend the breath in? It's easier for me to breathe out for longer time.
Okay. So that's a good one. I'm so happy that was asked. That's usually somebody asks it. So if you just think of slowly sipping the air in, so a lot of times we kind of, so it's a quick inhale. If you think of just slowly sipping like a nice drink through a straw, if you think of that in your nose and you're just slowly, slowly, slowly taking a little bit at a time, and then when you breathe out, you're slowly, slowly letting go of a bit at a time. And during the chimes, if you find that, you know, you've inhaled and there's still time before you exhale, just try each time to expand that just a little bit by taking a little another sip. One thing I didn't say at the beginning, but I should say as related to this, we're not trying to completely fill our lungs or stomach or completely empty them. So you're not trying to get to 100% capacity with each breath. You are inviting air into your body as much as it can, and you are letting air go as it goes. So there's not a lot of force involved with this. We're trying to be as relaxed about it as possible. So I hope that sipping tip helps, but when we try it again, let me know and we'll see. Okay, so we will start again. We're gonna do another kind of, this one will be a short one and we'll have a little bit of a chat. And then the last time we do it, at the end, you can of course ask questions, but sometimes people can feel, we'll breathe for a little bit longer. And sometimes people just want to sit and meditate themselves towards the end. They don't want to feel like coming and engaging with chatting again. All right. So let's stand up again. And I think everyone is muted again. Okay, so from here, we're gonna do a breath called the ha breath. This is a really empowering one and something that you can do. We're gonna try and do it as, or I encourage you to do this out loud. You can do it silently. So what we're gonna do is you're gonna breathe in, and as you exhale, you're gonna bring your hands down and shout ha as loud as you can. If you are in a place where you can't do that or you don't feel comfortable doing it, you can breathe in through your nose. And as you exhale, just as loudly as you can, so as forcefully as you can. So pretend maybe you're outside on a playground or no one else is around. And I do encourage you, if you can, to just to really, really shout as loud as you can. I'm not going to go full force because I don't want to, because you're all listening to me. But so breathe in. And then as you exhale, ha, breathe in, let your hands come up, exhale, ha, breathe in, ha, breathe in, ha, breathe in as loudly as you can, ha, ha, breathe in, ha. The last two as loud as you can. Ha! Last one as loud as you can. Ha! And then let your hands come to rest. And notice how you feel now. I feel like smiling after I do that, and I haven't even gone as loud as I can. So I hope that you feel a little bit of energy and a nice empowerment. From this, again, make sure your feet are a little, they're close to shoulder width distance, whatever's comfortable. Your knees are unlocked. And this time we'll breathe in for four counts. And then you're going to pause your breath. And then you're going to breathe out for six counts. So breathing in, two, three, four, pause your breath, two, three, four, breathing out, two, three, four, five, six, and pause. Breathing in, two, three, four, pause, two, three, four, breathing out, two, three, four, five, six, and pause. So breathing in slowly, gently, your belly expands. Pause your breath gently. And breathe out. Notice how this feels on your body, especially the pauses. And then pause at the end. So breathing in. Pause your breath. Breathing out. Pause your breath. Breathing in. Pause. Breathing out. Pause your breath. This time, breathe in your hands to your chest and then open your arms, lean your head back, pause your breath. As you breathe out, circle your arms out in front of you, bring your hands to your chest and down, and then pause. So breathing in, two, three, four, pause. And breathing out, circle your hands to your chest and down. Breathing in, open your heart, lean back, pause your breath. Breathing out, circle around, bringing energy into your chest and down, and pause. Breathing in, opening your chest, pause. Breathing out, pause. So breathing in, your hands to your heart and open, leaning back, pause, breathing out, circle your hands, bring them into your chest and down, pause, breathing in, pause, breathing out, pause, breathing in, pause, breathing out, and let your hands come to rest. You can close your eyes or look down. Notice how you feel now. Notice how you feel different from after the ha breath. And perhaps how you feel different from the normal coherent breathing. And then from here, find your chair again. And this time we'll add some movement to the seated breathing. So if you breathe in, pull your hands up. And as you breathe out, pull them down. So this is painting the waterfall. So breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. You can close your eyes or look down if you want to, and you can still move your hands. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in. Your hands move gently up, your belly expands. Breathing out, your hands move gently down, your belly releases. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, taking slow sips of air. Breathing out, slowly releasing the air. Breathing in. Breathing out. And you can keep moving your hands if you want to, or you can stop, letting them rest. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in slowly, gently, your belly expands. Breathing out slowly, gently, your body releases. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in slowly, gently, breathing out. Slowly, gently. Breathing in. Breathing out. Breathing in. And as you breathe out, let your hands come to rest if you are still moving them, keeping your eyes closed or looking down. Keep your attention on your breath. When thoughts or emotions come up, let them float gently by. Keeping your attention gently on your breath. with your eyes closed or down. Notice how your body feels now. And notice the quality of your thoughts. And the quality of your mind. As you continue to breathe, start to notice your body and your physical space, starting to deepen your breath just a little bit. And you can bring some gentle movement to your fingers and toes, perhaps stretching if you want to, like a cat waking up from a nap. And when you feel ready, you can open your eyes. And we'll chat for just a little bit more. I'll tell you what we just did. So first we did the ha breath, and we did about 10 of them. They can be really amazing to, if you're working with kids, to kind of release some energy, but also center energy. If you're working with anyone who feels disempowered or feel like their voice has been taken away from them, it can feel very nice as well. And it's kind of a game changer in terms of the room you're in. So I don't know if you felt it. I love doing it. I think it's great. If you do that, I would keep it to about 10 to 15 breaths. So don't do it for a very long time. It's just a few breaths to kind of get everyone together. And then after that, we were breathing in a rhythm of four counts in, and then pausing or holding your breath for four counts, and then breathing out for six and holding for two. So it's four, four, six, and two. And this rhythm is one of the best at calming your system down. So you might have felt perhaps more relaxed than even with the coherent breathing. And it's a very useful tool if you're sitting in traffic, or if you're in an airport and your flight is delayed, or you're feeling frustrated at a family dinner or something like that. You don't need to do the movements with it, but breathing in that rhythm will bring your whole system very, very quickly back down. If you're having a panic attack, something like that, you're feeling extremely anxious. It's a very nice one to have in your toolkit. So you just breathe in through your nose for four counts. You pause for four counts. You breathe out for six, and you pause for two. And then sometimes actually adding movement in can help people if they're having trouble with extending the inhale and exhale. So you're focused on something else other than just the breath. So I'm not sure if that was helpful. And I chose to do it without the chimes just because it could be a little bit easier. So that was a short session. If people have questions, they can ask them. Otherwise, I'll talk about how you could implement this into your daily life if you wanted to, or how you could use it with kids.
This is Sarah again. We have a couple of questions. Yep. One participant felt during the rhythmic breathing part that they felt like they were drowning. And what's that about?
Yeah, that's actually really, that can be common. If you have, sorry about that. So if you feel that way, sometimes moving the breath can ease that. It has to do with anxiety and usually tension within your body. So that will go away. But a lot of times, if you then think about moving the breath up to the top of your head and then down to the base of your spine, that can help ease with it with that. So did they feel it the first time, perhaps? They can maybe chat back to you, Sarah.
Yeah, I think it was the first time, but I'll wait for confirmation on that.
Okay.
And then the second one was from a participant who had to leave a little early, but wanted to say thank you. And that, I'm sorry, I'm scrolling. The class is great, and I hope to see you again, Cecilia.
Excellent. Okay. So I hope that helps with the drowning sensation. A lot of times if people have, and I'm not saying this is the case for this person, but if somebody has asthma or other kind of respiratory issues, it can feel that way, or if they've had a history of respiratory issues. And actually just keeping the breath moving within your body, so focusing the energy on different spots, can alleviate that feeling. if you were going to implement this into your daily life, where, how would it fit? So that's kind of was one of my first questions when I learned it, because I already had this yoga practice and I had a seated meditation practice too. And so a lot of times where it fits in is after movement, but before meditation. So if you already have those practices, and whether that's yoga or kung fu or going for a walk or a swim or doing Bollywood dance, whatever it is, after the movement, so sitting down for 5 or 10 minutes or 20 minutes, having this breathing. So breathing with chimes, there are lots of different apps, which I'll share a document with Sarah that perhaps she can send to people who participated. So you can find those and breathing with them. And then after that, having a meditation, if you have a seated meditation or not, I'm not sure, perhaps people who do have meditation practices noticed that it's easier to sit after the breathing. I know that I found that to be the case for me, even though I'd had a seated meditation practice for quite a while. And a lot of times in different traditions, the breathing does come before the meditation. So it's kind of in preparation. One of the questions I get frequently is that people have tried different meditation apps and they get frustrated because they can't do it and they feel a little bit like a failure because it's only 5 minutes, and how hard can that be? I will say to that our lives do not prepare us for meditation generally. So the traditional American life is not setting us up for success with meditation or with many practices. And that when you see people who have hour-long practices or days or whatever, generally they've done preparation for that. So they've done a physical practice, so Qigong perhaps, before they got to the meditation. In yoga, if you go through the limbs, you have asana and pranayama, and then you get into the meditation ones. So you're kind of, after you have established asana and pranayama in your life, then you're ready for meditation. So to ask ourselves to go from a commute to sitting and meditating is perhaps unrealistic of our bodies. So I think one of the neatest ways to use this is to actually to meditate afterwards, because you're just, your brainwaves, everything's already kind of ready. And it can make it much, much easier to do that. If you have kids, you can do some of these things. You just shorten the breath. So instead of 5 breaths per minute, you're maybe around 7 breaths per minute. And there are different ways to implement that. I'm a trainer for this. So if somebody really loves it and they want to implement it in some way in their own lives or with their own organizations, I'm always happy to talk about that. I offer a Saturday morning class that's only a half an hour. So we just get together and breathe. And that's donation-based. So if you're interested in learning more, you're welcome to join that. It's on Meetup. So if there are not other questions, or if there are other questions, we'll answer them. Otherwise, we'll get into the next little session. And at the end, I'll leave a few minutes for questions, but also feel free if you're relaxed and just want to stay in that space to not comment at the end. I know that can feel very nice. It's a nice gift to give yourself.
Deb, okay. I see your hand up, but that might have been from before. Did you have a comment for the section? Okay, I'll lower your hand and then I'll let Cecilia take us through the last section.
Okay, great. So we'll all stand up again. And the first thing we're going to do is a little bit of tapping. And this is kind of to get to move lymph, but also just energy around in your body. So again, you can tap as hard or as soft as you want to. And we'll start, just tap a side. And you can, I kind of like to move around and dance while I'm doing this, but you don't have to, you can stand still. You can do this to music too if you want to. And then your other side. And then your chest, just below your collarbones. And your C7 vertebrae, which is that little bump on the back of your neck. And then pick one of your shoulders and tap that shoulder, kind of up on your neck, and then down on the shoulder. And then walk down the top of that arm. So making sure you get your upper arm, your elbow, your lower arm, your wrist, the top of your hand, and then clap your hands a little bit. And then walk back up the bottom part of that same arm. Get your armpit. And and then walk across your chest to the other shoulder. And walk down that arm. And then when you get there, clap your hands. And then walk back up the underside of that same arm, lower arm, elbow, upper arm. Give your armpit some love. And then tap your belly. So try and release your stomach muscles again. Send some love to your organs that do so much work for you, turning your food into your being. And then the outsides of your hips. And then hinging at your hips, walk down the outsides of your legs. You can bend your knees or sit down if you need to. When you make it there, the tops of your feet. And then the insides of your lower legs, walking back up, insides of your knees, and then the fronts of your upper legs, and then your bottom. And then your sacrum, which is kind of right in the middle. And then if you can, bend your elbows just a little bit more to get your kidneys and your adrenal glands. And then come back around to your chest. And give yourself a hand. And then let your hands come to rest, your body come to rest. If you want to, you can close your eyes or look down. And notice how you feel right now. I always think it feels very nice. If you feel a tingling sensation anywhere in your body, again, trying to let that spread. Breathing in and out of your nose. And from here, find your chair. Making sure your back is supported. Perhaps feeling your feet on the ground. And your hands can be placed in whatever way feels comfortable to you. So as you're seated here, breathing in and out through your nose, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in. Breathing out. Breathing in. Breathing out. Breathing in slowly, gently. Breathing out slowly, gently. Breathing in, your belly fills with air. Breathing out, relaxing the space between your eyes, your jaw. Breathing in. Breathing out, relaxing your shoulders, the space between your shoulder blades. Breathing in. Breathing out. Relaxing your diaphragm, your stomach muscles. Breathing in. Breathing out. Relaxing your arms, your hands. Breathing in slowly, gently. Breathing out. Relaxing your legs. Breathing in. Breathing out, relaxing your feet, your toes. Breathing in slowly, gently. Breathing out, letting go of whatever it is you're holding on to. Breathing in gently.
deeply and continuing to breathe on your own, breathing in with the high tone and out with the low tone.
Breathing in.
out with the low tone. Specific rhythm, keeping your eyes closed or down, and your attention focused gently on your breath. When your mind wanders, bring it gently back to the breath, and the feeling of air in your nose. When thoughts or emotions come up, letting them float gently by like a cloud, keeping your attention gently focused on your breath. As you continue to breathe and keeping your eyes closed, try to bring all of your attention to the soles of your feet. Try to bring all of your attention to your ankles, try to bring all of your attention to the place behind your knees where they bend. Try to bring all of your attention to the place where your legs meet your body. And the very, very tips of your fingers. Try to bring all of your attention to your wrists. And the space inside your elbows where they bend. Try to bring all of your attention to the place where your arms meet your body. Try to bring all of your attention to the space just between your eyes. And the very, very top of your head. Try to bring this gentle and complete awareness to your entire body. Notice how it feels now. Notice perhaps how it feels different from when you started today. Maybe even putting a word or two around that. And then try to bring this gentle awareness to the quality of your thoughts and the quality of your mind. Noticing how they are now, and again, how they might be different from when we started earlier today. Maybe putting a word or two around that. You start to deepen your breath just a little bit. You can stay in this space or continue out with me. Perhaps you notice your back against the chair or your feet on the ground. Maybe you can smell something in your space or hear a sound. And as you continue to deepen your breath, coming back to your physical space, try to remember how you feel. And if you feel different, if you feel more at peace or more at ease, know that you always have this space and this feeling to come back to, that it's within you. You can bring some movement to your fingers and toes if you want to, or stretch. And I'll stick around for a few minutes if you have any questions. Thank you so much for joining today and for sharing your time and energy with me. I feel so lucky to have done this today. And thank you to the Friends of the Library for making it possible, and Sarah for hosting us. But thank you all so much.
Thank you, Cecilia. We'll follow up with those links that you wanted to send out. I can email those to everyone, and I can include a link to the recording today, because I'm sure some of us will want to go back and do this more than once.
Perfect.
A big thank you to Cecilia for leading this program and allowing us to record it to share it with you now.
At the time of this recording, JMRL is currently offering contactless curbside pickup for books at all branches Monday through Saturday, as well as Sunday at the Central Library. Limited in-person services are available in Greene, Louisa, and Nelson County branches, as well as those in Crozet and Scottsville. Hours vary by branch, so we'll link to further information about hours and procedures in our show notes. Please note that it might take longer than normal for your items to be ready to pick up, so we appreciate your patience while we continue to prioritize safety and well-being of our patrons and staff.
This podcast is made possible through the generous support from the Friends of the Library. If you'd like to learn more or join the Friends, please head to their website at jmrlfriends.org. Please hit subscribe wherever it is that you're listening to this podcast. If you have books that you'd like us to read and discuss, or topics that you'd like to hear on a future episode, please email us at podcast@jmrl.org.
That's all for us today. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more content. Thanks for tuning in, and we're glad to be on the same page.